I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Good morning, everybody. Hits you just like getting the snow off your windshield this morning. I don't know if it's good, but it's there.
It's there.
It hits you.
It's been snowing consistently for the last few hours.
Your good morning hits better than the snow hits the windshield, actually. Yeah, you're right.
Happy Tuesday. Happy Veterans Day as well if you have off, hanging out. Good for you. Aren't all the troops. It's snowing. We finally got fall, winter. Finally arrived.
And this is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. I'm Derek Kramer. He's Zach Jones. Oh, boy. I don't know. Where do we start? Do we start with how obnoxiously wrong we were on pregame? Do we start with the game that was that made us so obnoxiously wrong? Do we start with how Dolphins Twitter found us being obnoxiously wrong? Do we go with, it's snowing outside, so there's your
it's worse.
There's your escape from it. Oh, hey, the Sabres, they're just cursed.
There's a few things, yeah. UB basketball tonight at DePaul. That'll be good. Over on the bet, 15-20. I think 7 o'clock tonight. Yeah, that, at least that's a positive. 18.5 point dogs, so maybe not.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, bad weekend for Buffalo sports, namely the Bills, who now, I mean, they're in a really bad spot. Not the worst spot they've ever been in. I mean, what were they a few years ago? 6-6?
Yeah.
I mean, a few games further along than this. And those teams were arguably better than this one now. It's just, it all kind of seems like it's crumbling in on them. They've picked up key injuries on defense seemingly every week, and that continued. Landon Jackson picked up an injury, but now Dalton Kincaid week to week with that hamstring injury. We did get that confirmation yesterday from Sean McDermott. And now they've seemingly, we'll see if this carries on, next year, even the rest of the year. New England has passed them by. They're 8-2 now. The Bills are 6-3. They've got Tampa coming into the house, and Tampa's got their own injuries. Bucky Irving not playing. That could be a huge matchup, but Emeka Abuka is an amazing young receiver for them. Baker Mayfield has had moments where he's looked like an MVP kind of quarterback this year. They're in a bad spot, and it kind of starts with the fact that they're losing multiple games where they really had no business losing. Atlanta is on that list, absolutely. And then a Miami team that bullied you for four quarters. It wasn't like Miami just hung around like these last few games that have been close. Miami kind of hangs around, but the Bills still do their business on offense. Sunday was not the case with that. They were bullied for four quarters. You never had the lead. It's very quickly 13-0, and because there's a missed extra point there, but it's quickly 13-0, and I think most of us were just kind of sitting there going, what the hell just happened? And that's kind of been the story of the Bills, and you can argue the AFC at large, is that anybody can lose to anybody. There really is no great team. I think that gets proven more and more as the weeks go by. Indianapolis survives Atlanta purely off of Jonathan Taylor being incredible and Michael Penix being unable to hit a receiver late in the game.
Or a crucial drop that could have helped them win a game.
Darnell Mooney as well, yep. Denver, don't really know what's going on there with Bo Nix and Sean Payton. Colin Coward, who's very close to Sean Payton, was acknowledging on a show last week that Denver could move on from Bo Nix. And if he's saying that with his relationship with Payton, that is something to perk your ears up a little bit. They can't really score. We actually end and start the week with the same scores. 10-7 on Thursday Night Football, 10-7 on Monday Night Football. New England, they have one of the weakest schedules we've ever seen. They're mowing right through it, but it's a very weak schedule. Pittsburgh's at the top of the AFC North. Miraculously, they're not good at all. And then you've got Chargers, Bills, Jaguars. That's your current playoff seed right now. Jaguars have a real problem at quarterback.
And the Jaguars, by the way, they're the last gatekeeping out Kansas City, and they lost. I would say almost embarrassingly.
Yeah. Yeah. They lost to Davis Mills.
Okay. Never mind. Not almost.
Yeah. Actually, they lost to Davis Mills. Yeah.
Actually,
absolutely.
Embarrassingly. And they had a big lead, too. So, No, shame on you.
Chargers, both their tackles are out. Like that's the positive I can take from all this is that the AFC at large does not look good.
It's heavily flawed.
It is a very flawed conference. But to that point, though, the Bills might be one of the more flawed teams. Their passing attack can be anemic for games on end where there's just no juice to it. They've now lost Dalton Kincaid for likely a few weeks. He is week to week with a hamstring injury. Palmer, we'll see if he comes back, but we've seen what this passing game looks like without Kincaid. It is not good, and it's not like Palmer is this world-beating wide receiver. Maybe he comes in and changes things. Maybe that's true. But if James Cook is stopped, that offense is just stuck in the mud. They don't know where to go. And I look at a team like Tampa, they'll probably come out and play a lot harder. I don't doubt that. But the way they play, the way they have to play on offense, tied with all the injuries they have, they can come out and play great against Tampa. It may not mean anything. They still may lose that game. Because the high-end talent on Tampa has popped off a lot this year. They won at Bucky Irving, but Emeka Ogbuka and Baker Mayfield have been amazing for them.
You can frustrate Tampa with a pass rush. The Bills do happen to have that. Against Miami, they just did not have it. The scheme that Buffalo ran with Miami twice now, allowing Tua to his first read several times and then still not getting to him, I'm a little infuriated by that you've sacked him zero times in two games. And the results are not surprising at that point. You have a close victory in week three, and then you lose outright in, what was it, week 10? Week 10.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Miami's offensive line is suddenly good? Question mark? It's got me questioning my sanity. There we go. Thanks, Bills. And you mentioned it, like how every AFC team has their flaw, though. Credit to New England, they beat a team with a good record again. The Bucs are a team that in the NFC, they are leading the South, but they're also 6-3. That's a good team in my book, I would think. As long as the Bills are 6-3, they would fall into this definition. They're injured with a lot of problems there. But the Buccaneers still are holding strong despite that. And now here you are, a pair of 6-3 teams next week. Bills, Bucks. You now need to do what New England did. You mentioned the strength of schedule, though, by the way. There's one team worse than New England, or one team that has it better than New England. The Bears at a 3-5-1. New England at 3-7-6. The sad part about Buffalo's season so far right now is that they're not far behind. They're third.
Yeah, right.
At 4-0-7.
That's why for a long time we had the one seed conversation. Was that look at the schedule. Look how bad Kansas City's playing. Baltimore. You got through them week one and then they started to really fall apart both with injuries and their record. That's why the conversation was happening. But as the year has gone on, and we're comfortably at a spot now where we can start talking about the year at large. It is not too early now, I think, to have a lot of these conversations. The Bills' likelihood of winning the AFC East is now below 40%. It's not too early to have these conversations. But you look at New England now, too, and this is why, like, them beating Tampa and surviving Atlanta is important. Their next games, home against the Jets, Justin Fields could not throw more than 100 yards in a win. At Cincinnati, they still won't have Joe Burrow back, and everyone can score on them. And then the Giants, who just fired Brian Daboll. And then the bye week. They have a late bye. So for them, it can be 11-2, bye week, Bills for the division. That's probably what New England is looking like, is 11-2 bye week, head in at home to take on the Bills for the division. It is a tough road to climb for the Bills. They've come out of worse. I mean, they should not have won the division the year Miami had it clinched until they obviously collapsed it with Tennessee. They've had those happen. But Drake May is better than Tua. Vrabel is better than McDaniel. And their schedule points to they should take care of business. So for me, I'm not giving up on the Bills. They're not done, in part because the AFC itself is not very good. And we're ignoring the NFC for a little while here, for a few weeks. The NFC is the NFC, but the AFC, it is a weak conference. It is very flawed. But with that, did Sunday's loss for you put a ceiling on what these Bills can do? 803-0550, the number to call you want to give your thoughts. We've also got a lot of tweets on that. Because for me, I think it did put a ceiling on them. They can win the Super Bowl. They have Josh Allen. But I'm more hoping they can win the Super Bowl, where a few weeks ago, start of the season, they're one of the Super Bowl favorites. They should be one of the final four teams. They should, with the schedule and with how everyone else looks in the AFC, be representing the conference. Now, it more feels like they got to get a few rolls their way. They got to get a little bit of luck. Ed Oliver does come back from his bicep injury and is the player that he looked like this year. Josh Palmer comes back and does ascend into a player that the GM talked very highly of all offseason. Dalton Kincaid comes back and continues to work. It can happen, but they've put themselves in such a hole, and it is losses like to Atlanta and Miami that just makes me think, not this year. Not this year. They're too flawed. They've ignored key problems for too long. They've treated wide receiver like it's a second-class position, to the point now where they cannot reliably pass the ball, especially downfield, with the reigning MVP at quarterback.
I mean, and there's a lot of, I don't want to call it pessimism, but like caution from Bills fans is probably the nicest way to put it about them bringing in Mecole Hardman to the practice squad.
Mm-hmm.
It's a... Oh, great. Are we going to get more jet sweeps and bubble screens to another player? That's the kind of attitude that's going on right now. And whether it's Hardman or if it's Gabe Davis, there might need to be a change at the wide receiver group at its current standing. And you're not getting enough out of Keon Coleman. You're not using Elijah Moore enough. Curtis Samuel's barely on the field at this point, it feels like. Not enough going on from players that aren't Khalil Shakir at the wide receiver position, and Josh Palmer being hurt obviously stings a little, and it probably takes away from what the general manager had designs on.
Mm-hmm.
But the minute Dalton Kincaid is not in the game, things fall apart. And here it was again, because he gets injured against Miami and the passing attack was just getting going.
Yeah, they were finally starting to use Kincaid. And he ends that game, what, with like two catches for like 30 yards? Something like that?
I think it was
37 yards? Because he had two back-to-back big plays. Because I remember just sitting there going, finally, you got your best receiving weapon involved.
Yeah, it was 37 yards on two catches.
Yeah.
So 18.5 yards per pop there. But the other part of it is you were playing catch-up the whole game.
And they were not built to do it.
There were seven plays of 20 yards or more because they had to. And it still didn't work. Which kind of goes back to Joe Brady's comments of like, oh, we could pass the ball anytime we
need to.
We need to. What about when you don't need to?
When you can, when you maybe should be taking advantage of a bad secondary by Miami. You can't.
When you should.
You can't.
It's not when you need to. It's when you should. When you need to is game script. The game has told you you have to do this. So it's not necessarily something where you're getting good design out of it based on play call. You're doing it because the game dictates that you have to. How about passing the ball when you want to? That's been the problem this year. And against Kansas City, they do it really well, as a matter of fact. But as we've been proven now multiple times this year, if a team sells out to stop James Cook in the run game,
Bills don't really have an off-speed pitch. They don't have a plan B.
No, I'll say it more simply. The Bills lose.
Mm-hmm. 803-0550, the number to call. Did Sunday's loss to Miami put a ceiling on this year's Bills team for you, or do you still see them as what they were to start this year, a clear Super Bowl contender? Let's go to the phones. We'll start today with Billy on the line. Billy, how we doing, man?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I don't see a problem at all. I mean, I'm disappointed in losing to these lesser teams, but, you know, I'm going to throw a different scenario at you and you know, and go with other sports. Look, the Edmonton Oilers and the Florida Panthers just lollygagged through the regular season. The L.A. Dodgers were supposed to win 180 baseball games. They lollygagged through the season. I think what happens sometimes when you get there 3, 4, 5 years in a row, and I know this isn't a good thing to say, but it looks like this team doesn't even really want to play the regular season. When they play the two good teams, they beat them both. But it just looks like they want to get right back to the playoffs. And I think we will see this real team in the playoffs. I really see that. I'm not worried one bit, to be honest with you, because we beat two teams that have a chance to go to the Super Bowl, and we beat them quite handily. Here's the one thing that I am very upset about the last game. And, you know, I hope you guys say, listen, you're just you're overthinking this, but guys, we're getting beat soundly by Miami. It's 30-13. It's fourth down at the end of the ball game, and we decide to kick the football? I mean, are you kidding me? Would the Kansas City Chiefs with 30 seconds left think they can score two touchdowns and win the game? We flat out lay down. Why not just go for it on fourth down? You know, if it's unsuccessful, and it's probably not going to be that, then Miami's not going to try and score another touchdown and beat us 37-13. They're just going to run the clock out and game over. Why did we kick the ball in that situation? I know it meant nothing, but it just meant that we gave up. Yeah, it was great. We landed the ball on their 2-yard line. So in the next 30 seconds, they're not going to go 98 yards and score a touchdown. My God, you have got to play the game right out. And I thought that we gave in right there and just admitted defeat. And I can never accept something like that. That's all I got, guys.
Billy, thanks for the call. You're going to hate what I say next. I hated that Josh Allen was in the game for the last 5 minutes. I thought that was pointless. He took one sack that I just thought was ridiculous.
I also don't think you're going to like what I say on this one either, Billy. Appreciate the call, though. You can't say, oh, they're just playing the string through the regular season and then get mad that they kicked the football.
They kicked the football, yeah.
You kind of can't have both in that scenario. I don't think the Bills also want to be playing the string out on the regular season. Now, I will never accuse athletes of effort unless I can very blatantly see it.
Or if they say it.
Or if they say it. Or if it's told to us. There is no way that they're trying to coast through this. Why? They're better at home.
Yeah,
they don't have a playoff win on the road with Sean McDermott as the head coach. I think that's highly circumstantial because it's Kansas City almost every time. There's the Houston game where, you know, it's Allen's first time in the playoffs, and then the game that everyone should forget in the 2017 wild card against Jacksonville. Those are the other losses. But other than those, it's Kansas City. In Kansas City. And however, while I brought up the circumstances, there are still the facts. The fact is they have not won a playoff game on the road. And if you think they're just hanging out until they can get to the playoffs here, this isn't like the NHL. There's no chance to go home if you're the 6 or the 7 seed.
I was going
to
say, I understand the feeling of bringing up baseball and the NHL and basketball, but the problem is those are much longer seasons. And yeah, like, cool, you might get game 7 at home, but these are series. Like, we're all going to go home at some point.
We're all going to play in front of the fans again.
It does get to a point of just get into the dance, you're fine. With seeding sports like football, no, you kind of want the bye week, the 1 seed. You want to have everything be at home. It's late in the year. You're tired. You're exhausted.
You want a 2 or a 3.
Yeah.
So you're not traveling.
And look, yeah, they did beat Miami, or they did beat Kansas City, and they beat Baltimore. They did not beat Baltimore soundly. They did not. That was a game that Baltimore more lost than the Bills won. And Kansas City, they get up for that game every year. There's no explanation to it other than they love playing them and they get up for it. But you can't go from Kansas City at home playing your best ball of the season. I still stand by that. That's their best game they've played this season.
It is.
And then laying the worst egg you've had all year against Miami in a close division race.
I think that speaks to the true inconsistency of this year's group.
Yeah, probably does. They'll get up for one game and the next game.
It's not even getting up for. It's execution. It's predictability of play calls. It's, ready? You brought this up on the overtime show, Zach, how the radio broadcast mentions it was the same play call.
The fourth down pass ultimately goes to Jackson Hawes. Yeah.
The fourth down where Allen has to chuck that thing deep to Jackson Hawes is probably the safest play at that point because, hey, you know what? Even if it's picked off, that's field position that you flipped. Because Miami snuffs it out because the play was the same as the one you called against Kansas City in the same exact situation. Fourth and short. You fake the tush push or whatever that play is nowadays. Ban it, by the way. And because we had another egregious false start on the Eagles that wasn't called.
Yeah, that play is gone next year.
Cannot wait for the burial of that play. But then it's snuffed out immediately to a point where now Allen's escapability is also taken out because that read is crashed.
Mm-hmm.
A defender comes crashing down in the lane that Allen's going to take to run the ball. And now Allen has to make a decision.
And the decision ultimately, we all make fun of it, but Hawes is not the design guy on that play.
Hawes is not the design player.
He is the bail, just throw it up. It's fourth down.
I also think he's trying to find Knox.
Oh, yeah.
Who's floating down the field a little bit there.
Mm-hmm. But he throws it off his back foot.
And the ball's not going to be accurate, and somebody's going up to get it, and it's Jackson Hawes of all people.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how well-read that play was because Joe Brady has a sense of predictability to his calls, be it by deployment or by scenario.
And there is a positive and a negative to that because he has openly acknowledged, like, if a play's working, we're going to keep running it. Those pitch plays that they ran a few weeks ago against Carolina, they kept going and going and going and going, and Carolina wasn't stopping them. So there's a positive to that. There's also a massive negative of you just ran that play the week prior.
James Cook's coming off the field. I wonder what they're doing.
Yeah. 803-0550, the number to call. We'll get one more call here in this segment before our first timeout. Alan is up next. Alan, how are we doing?
Hey, good morning, guys. I just wanted to share a couple things, and you kind of brought it up from the 2023 season. I remember going back to that season. The Giants came to Buffalo with Tyrod Taylor and almost beat us. We were shut out the first half. You would have thought the world came to an end with Bills fans. The second they go to New England, Mac Jones takes the team down and scores at the end of the game. People were ready to shoot McDermott and the Dorsey and the whole crew, and then we lose that game to Denver when too many men on the field. And, you know, you talk about I think it was Joe or Jeremy took a poll when they were 6-6 and lost to the Eagles on that 59 by Jake Elliott, 59-yard mm-hmm. field goal to tie it up, go to overtime. But 80% of the people said they would not make the playoffs. They came back and won 5 in a row. Yeah, people say, well, this is a little bit of a different team. They stopped throwing the digs. Diggs averaged 3 catches a game for the last 5 games. He was infuriated. And if you look back at that, and I think this year, we play a team coming in this Sunday, Tampa, that's injured worse than we are. I mean, they have some.
They've been wounded all year, yeah.
And they're in an easy division. I believe the Bills are going to – I say this, and I'm a confident fan. I think they're going to smoke this team. I know Baker's a runaround guy, but I think, you know, they have an easy division that they're in Tampa. But I think this week, I think this is going to be a light under the fire team, and I think this is when this team starts to move. I know that it looks like Benford's coming back this week, Teron, and I heard a comment that Palmer looks like he could be back, and Sanders. So we're going to, and maybe Espinoza clears, protocol. So I think we're going to get a little healthier. Not that, you know, that should mean a lot, but this Tampa team, I mean, you talk about injuries. Everybody says, oh, the Bills are so – Dallas, 10 guys on the IR. But I think this team's going to turn it around, and I think they're going to be everybody's vocal point on the other side when the year comes by the end of the year. They always have these laws. No, they don't always have two out of three. You know, they usually go on streaks where four, five, six in a row where they win. But I think McDermott was really ticked off, and you saw it a little bit yesterday. And I think this is going to change a little bit. And you can't go into this Tampa game. You know, they're still 5.5-point favorites. A couple guys said, oh, that spread's going to drop quickly.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know him to break him.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman. New season. Streaming November 16th. Only on Paramount Plus.
It's actually gone up a half a point. So I think we're going to see this Bills team come back strong. Take care.
Alan, thanks for the call, man. We will see. Yeah, TJ Sanders, that was the big positive news from yesterday. He's going to practice to some extent this week. The team is opening up his 21-day practice window. We will see. I think this will light a fire under him. I think you just got smoked by Miami. They don't get blown out a lot. You were absolutely blown out in Miami. We'll see if it does. This Tampa team, though,
There's two angry teams playing each other.
Yeah.
That's the benefit here, is that we better get a good football game out of this, because there's two teams that are pissed.
Yeah.
I appreciate the optimism, though, from a caller, though, as well.
And, it is fair to bring up 23. And we mentioned it. They were in a worse spot, 6-6 overtime.
They were in a worse spot.
To Philly, and they pulled it together.
He does mention, Diggs does not get the football anymore. That's because Brady's the head coach, or the offensive coordinator. Nice job, Derek. But it is because, though, sometimes, we're here to let the anger out, or even try to help you out sometimes with how things are going when it's bad. But when we're just as irritated as all of you are, I appreciate You know, if someone can give the other side of it a little bit, be like, hey, step back. You know, I think they've got this. I do appreciate it. I really do. Because sometimes we do need that.
Yeah.
Even though we're the ones talking into it, we are talking to you. And sometimes we need it too, I guess is the way I want to say that. So thank you, Alan. I appreciate the call.
803-0550, the number to call. If you're on hold, hang on there. We'll get to you when we come back before we hit our first time out. Let TRS Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical Excellence intercept your heating bills. Enter now at WGR550.com for a chance to win $1,200 toward your home heating costs. Don't fumble this opportunity. Contest does end January 4th of 2026. TRS Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical Excellence. Borrowing tomorrow, comforting today. Again, the number to call, 803-0550. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR.
Yeah, I got off to a slower start than we wanted to. I'm feeling like we were chasing the game, trying to play catch up a little bit there and couldn't close the gap, quite honestly. So too many three and outs early in the game, too many second and longs, third and longs offensively. Gave up in the run game early that led to their first touchdown. And
that is Bills head coach Sean McDermott from yesterday speaking with the media. And yeah, they got into a hole early. And I do not think this Bills team is built to come back from a deficit. They are built to get on you early, get into the run game, and force you to throw a lot. And when they get put in that spot, they struggle.
What a weird evolution it has been from there. But, you know, sometimes things are not all the way back yet. But you know what is? Tailgate Trivia is back. And it's presented by Total Sports Enterprises Buffalo. Listen during every Bills game for your chance to call in, answer the trivia question, and win autographed Bills merch courtesy of TSE Buffalo. That's on every Bills game day during countdown to kickoff. So have some fun. Try to get some tailgate trivia in there. As a matter of fact, we did that.
We did that.
We did that.
Jackson Haas scored again.
Jackson Haas scored
again. Against the Dolphins. He was the trivia answer, and then he scored again. Mm-hmm. It was meaningless, but he did it again.
Yes.
Good for him. 803-0550, the number to call. The big question we've got today is, following the loss on Sunday, do you believe this Bills team has a ceiling, or are they still what they were to start this year? Clear Super Bowl contenders. We'll go back to the phones here, and Jerry, who's been waiting patiently. Jerry, how are we doing, man?
Hey, good morning. The guy a couple of calls ago was funny about giving up. You do know you two touchdowns can't get you 17 points.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
Just what we need to be doing, down 17, trying, and another player gets hurt.
So I was saying, like, 5 minutes left in the game, I was like, why is Allen still here?
Right. But you know what? McDermott just hit it on the head. All three turnovers occur because we're chasing. The one in the end zone, we would have kicked the field goal. Cook and Allen trying to get extra mm-hmm. yards turns into a fumble. The A-chain had a nice day, but 8 of his yards are bull. They're because we crowded the line to get the ball back, and once he hits that seam, he's gone. In a normal close game, that's a 6-yard run. It is not a 32-yard touchdown or a 48-yard touchdown. Those are false yards. Sure, they calculate, but they're out of desperation, and us chasing is the reason they happen. The main reason I called, though, I think the biggest problem on this team now, and it's by availability and their ability, mm-hmm. the core of this team, from Bernard to Oliver to Milano to Benford to Teron Johnson to Dawkins, are letting us down. Name one of those players you think is having a good year by availability or ability, and they are the core of this team.
No, Jerry, I think you're absolutely right, man. Thanks for the call. You know, funny enough, the one guy that was really, like, exceeding, I think, maybe people's expectations this year is also a guy who's barely played. So he does fit into this, but it's at Oliver. Oliver comes in with, he's notoriously a core player that underachieves. He's too inconsistent.
Right.
But this year, barring injuries, he was phenomenal for them.
It's easy to say that every game he played in, you notice.
But to the availability point of Jerry's call,
he only played 3 games.
Michael Hoyt only played 7 quarters. I think you could also throw Josh Allen in here as well, as he's not having an equal season to his MVP year last year. Now, to that point, though, and there was a call yesterday for Shelton the Bulldog, and I think he makes a really good point. The worst thing Allen maybe could have done for his career is winning MVP with last year's roster, with last year's scheme. That maybe having this year, which is still very good, Like, that's the word. He's still very good.
And yet it's so frustrating.
It's so frustrating. Why? Well, the talent's not really there. He's forcing too many things. He's turning the ball over more. The Bills were perfect last year on offense, realistically. The defense was getting takeaways. They had short field positions, and the Bills weren't turning the ball over. So it was constantly, they were just able to have short fields, take advantage of teams, and bully them. And they had to be perfect to do it, running these 10 to 15 play drives to score, where this year, they're not getting as many takeaways, and they're turning the ball over more. And that is now leading to them having to force things on like 2nd and 9, 2nd and 8. They're not having any kind of downfield threat, so all the passing attack is pushed in. The safeties don't really have to do too much in terms of defending a field stretcher. I don't even want to say a speed guy, but just somebody that can do it. Guys like Justin Jefferson, I would not say is a speedster. Same with Jamar Chase. But they're both great deep ball threats, so you have to defend it. You have to acknowledge that is going to be a thing. They don't have that. But Allen, to the caller's point, his fumble comes from he's just trying to get more yards. Jalen Hurts had the same thing happen to him last night. Just trying to get more yards. Someone comes in, punches it out. It's a problem. James Cook, he's getting more yards. They're fighting to get back in the game. It's a fumble. His less so in terms of fighting to get more yards. His is just guy comes up from behind him.
He tries to elude it, and there's a guy, great
right.
pursuit.
Allen is much more of the, he is clearly trying to put the team on his back.
Which is kind of funny because he even has two hands on the football.
Yeah.
It's the perfect punch.
But I wholeheartedly agree with Jerry's call. It is core guys not living up to the expectations. Not even living up to the expectations, just meeting the ones they've set.
Meeting the ones they've set.
That's why a lot of these guys got extensions.
And that was just going to get there. Or meeting the extensions that they were just given. And it is becoming a little bit more of a problematic scenario that I look at three of those five extensions and I think you're not doing what you're being paid to do. And they're all on the defensive side of the football. The ones you can go ahead and say, yeah, you're worth every penny right now is James Cook and maybe Khalil Shakir.
I can at least point to Shakir and say, I want to see them use him more.
I want to see you used more the field.
He's not been as efficient. I think a lot of it is just how many yards does he get beyond the line of scrimmage? They just don't use him in that role anymore. I think in part because everyone's dropped in on the offense. No one's stretching the field. So it's all clumped together. And so the best way to get him the ball is these bubble screens, is these quick hit. It's not a pretty offense. It works at times because they have an all-pro MVP-level quarterback and they have an all-pro-level running back. That's why it is able to work at times. And others, like we've mentioned, when you stop James Cook, boy, does it look painful. Let's go back to the phones here. Kenny is up next. Kenny, how are we doing, man?
Oh, this is Tim.
Oh, Tim, sorry about that. Tim, how are you doing, man?
No worries. I'm good. Thanks for having me on, guys. Mm-hmm. I just want to get your thoughts here. I really, truly, and you know, the timing of this is impeccable, but I really think it has nothing to do with the whole Brian Daboll thing getting fired. I just want to know your thoughts. Do you think that Joe Brady is coaching for a job here for the remainder of the year? Because I know that, you know, he's some favorited for at like some college stops and things like that. You know, to be honest with you, I went back and looked cause I wasn't entirely sure, but I totally forgot that he actually got fired from Carolina with like 5 games left under Matt Rhule. The offense just doesn't look great. I know they're scoring a lot of points. And to your point right before I got on, like if James Cook is clicking, this offense looks totally different, but just the spacing and everything looks really, really hard. And I just remember under Daboll, like we would have guys running down the field and then you'd get that Cole Beasley, like deep dig route that was just like always available. And Josh always seemed more comfortable. I don't know, guys, I'm throwing a lot at you here, but is he coaching for a job here? Because I don't think that they would hesitate to make a move after the season, not necessarily Daboll, but just getting some fresh eyes in here.
Right.
And your quarterback looks depressed, man, like figure it out. Thanks.
Yeah. Tim, thanks for the call, man. You know, I've been saying this with Brady, maybe not necessarily coaching for his job. I didn't think he was having like a Bobby Slowick type year. And if you don't get that reference, Slowick 2 years ago was the belle of the ball in terms of these young OCs coming up. C.J. Stroud in his rookie year made him look incredible. Year two, it's such a regression. He's fired at the end of the year. I don't know if that's Brady. However, there are, for me, and I talked about this a few times now on different shows, but I think there's too many openings for him that I think he could be a real favorite for. Penn State, LSU being the two major college jobs, there will be more NFL jobs that open up. I think he could go. I will say, though, the longer the season goes on, and if there is a real regression, if this team all of a sudden winds up in the wild card and they lose and they don't even win a playoff game this
and
year.
And it's the context that the offense is the reason.
I could absolutely see that happening. This team also fired Ken Dorsey in the middle of the season when all of the numbers did look good, but the eye test was telling you, oh boy, this is a struggle. The numbers looked fine.
And yet, oddly enough, yeah, we're at that point where, say, the offense continues its struggles through the next couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
We've already gotten our public vote of confidence.
Yeah. Yeah. And to be perfectly honest, every time McDermott talks, I'm more curious now every time he speaks because, man, he is veiling some things. I mean, he is going non-answers for a lot of stuff that, to me at least, points to, oh, it's the more negative answer, but
you're protecting publicly.
And that's the job of the head coach. The head coach should not be throwing everyone under the bus. This is not soccer. Soccer coaches can do that and do it often.
You are football not John Tortorella. Not so you don't need to hear it.
But
in the NFL.
Even the stuff yesterday, Matt Parrino, who's friend of the show, friend of the station, asked about Keon Coleman and the effort stuff. McDermott, you know, acknowledged that, you know, it's not always the best, but it's handled internally. You know, when it needs to be addressed, it is addressed.
When he knows, I let him know.
Yep.
If I'm not satisfied.
On the postgame, do you think this is a championship roster? I love these players. I love this team. Okay, that is not a yes or a no, but it is way closer to a no.
That is... You're protecting your guys, and you're trying to do what you need to do there. And I think that that is something that most coaches will do publicly.
Yeah.
It is, however, getting to a point where, yeah, I am starting to wonder how much of a philosophical difference there is between the head coach and the front office.
Yeah. 803-0550, the number to call. Real quick, though, on Dable.
Yep.
I'm cool if he comes in as a consultant, you know, senior offensive assistant. He may want to do that. He may also want to just take the season, collect himself, and get ready for the coaching cycle. Because I think he will be a hot name for an OC for a number of teams. And there have always been rumblings that him and McDermott don't get along super well. I am still maintaining, and Sunday didn't change anything for me. If McDaniel was fired in Miami, that's who I want as an OC. Because for me, I think they need new blood brought into the coaching staff. Too much. They go back to the same old coaches and the same old players. Bring someone in with new ideas, with different ideas. He was not a good head coach. He is not a good head coach. He's not fired yet, McDaniel. But he was a very good offensive coordinator. And I think the players that they have right now, Josh Allen, James Cook, I think they can really make that work with McDaniel year one. Bringing him in also pushes more towards you need receiver help to get to run this offense. Let's do it. I think they could be a really good marriage. Dable, though, also could be a good one. I have less love for that because it would be going to the same old, same old. Old guy got fired, we'll bring him back in. Old guy gets cut, we'll bring him back in.
I will say yes and no on that because Dable is brought in as an outside voice.
He is.
Originally.
He is, yep.
And I would say technically he is again.
He would be, but this would be...
It is hiring back into the tree.
He would seem also-
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's what you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
I mean, good. I wouldn't complain. It's just I would have less juice for it because it would sort of fit the template for them.
It would fit the template for them, but it's also, hey, I know what I'm working with here.
Yeah.
And that goes to both parties, the team and Dable. Dable can go in and go, I know what I'm working with here.
Right. 803-0550, the number two call. We do have primetime players come up at the top of the hour. Also, of course, going to keep taking your calls on if you think this Bills team has hit a ceiling following their loss on Sunday, or are they still, or should they still be considered a clear Super Bowl contender like they were at the start of the year? Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Wrapping up hour number one here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on a Tuesday. Happy Veterans Day. Honor all the troops out there. Today's show brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Join Sal Capaccio and Matt Bove for a live recording of It's Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast at Batavia Downs Gaming and Hotel on Tuesday, November 18th from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Don't miss this upcoming events at Batavia Downs, including Thurman Thomas Tailgate Party on November 20th and the Batavia Downs Bar Crawl on November 28th. Visit BataviaDownsGaming.com. 803-0550, the number to call. We've got only a few minutes here, so we'll get one more call at least here before our next break. Steve is up next. Steve, how are we doing, man?
Hey, guys. I know Joe Brady is coming under a little bit of fire, and these guys do have to do what they have to do with the tools that they have. But, you know, for offensive success, I mean, isn't this just a really middle group of guys, especially with the positions he wants to utilize? Like, we don't have a 1-2 punch at running back. We don't have Sonic and Knuckles like they do in Detroit.
Right.
And even for tight ends, you know, that's what he wants to use. Who do we have? It's not like we have Tucker Kraft out there. We've got a, you know, a high-end Mike Gesicki and Kincaid, and then Dalton Knox, who's probably better years behind him, and then a rookie that still, you know, we're not sure how much he can even catch the ball. So that's really what I think with Brady. He just probably doesn't have the tools he needs to run the offense that he wants to run.
Steve, I think there's a really fair point to bring up. It's something I've somewhat wrestled with for most of the years. Like, how much blame do we really put on Brady with the confuddling amount of times this offense kind of goes into the gutter? The problem Brady runs into is when he took over, receivers sort of took a backseat. When they had Diggs, when they had Gabe Davis. So while, yeah, I don't disagree, I think he has a very middling group of skill position players outside of James Cook and maybe Kincaid.
I want to be more particular with that.
Mm-hmm.
You said receivers take a backseat. Boundary receivers.
Boundary receivers take a back seat.
Yes. But Shakir has been heavily featured over the past few years.
But it is something to bring up of, like, how much talent do they really have? I think it's fair to bring up the tight ends as well. Kincaid is a good tight end. I think he's ascending, but he's often hurt. Knox, yeah, the best years are probably behind him. He's now much more used as a complement in that room rather than, you know, a full course meal. And Hawes, yeah, is a rookie and we're not sure if he can catch or not. We're still figuring that out with him as he goes. He's not really using the receiving game. He is a blocking tight end for them 90% of the time
this year. I will say, if you want to be encouraged by the numbers, he has caught 8 of 11 targets.
That does work. That does work. that will help. But yeah, I think that's a fair thing to bring up. The problem is, and to Derek's point, he seemingly doesn't like using boundary receivers, and when he has to, their numbers go down and it becomes an inefficient way to run the offense. Look at Diggs' last few games here in Buffalo as the most glaring example. It's why I'm not asking for him to be fired, but why I'm already thinking about maybe his replacement. 803-0550, the number to call. We'll have primetime players coming up in the next hour. We'll also keep taking your calls as well. Here on a Tuesday, the snow has stopped. That is maybe a positive sign for the rest of the day. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, this is WGR.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.